Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
And we are the hosts of The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite cult classics and horror movies. We're talking about everything from Lori Loughlin dancing on a BMX bike in Rad, all the way over to 80s classics like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Join us every week as we pick another movie that we try desperately to find the good in while laughing our way through the bad.
And there's a lot of bad. Looking through his movies, he appears to just love frogs, because then we get Toad Warrior in 1996 and Max Hell Frog Warrior in 2002. So,
not a fan of horror? Don't worry about it. Almost every episode is filled with personal anecdotes and jokes about all things entertainment.
So join us every week on any of your favorite podcasting apps and services, or find us at IHateHorror.com or on Instagram at IHateHorror.
Have you guys seen the DVD Blu-ray commercial for Gemini Man? It's been running on TV lately. Yeah, it's apparently it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. But my favorite part about watching the commercial is apparently the disc has behind the scenes making of this movie, how they did the CGI, whatever, including the motorcycle scene.
Oh my God.
So tempted.
Look, Amin, I know you don't really get into other people's birthdays, right? But my birthday is in 18 days. Oh. If you guys ever wanted to get me anything, I don't even know where I would play. I guess I could play it in my PS4, right?
Yep.
I wouldn't know where to play it, but. Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to. Or maybe a digital copy. Because they're going to have extras on a digital copy, right?
I don't know.
I'd pay $20 just to watch that. Just to watch the making of the motorcycle scene. Does the Gemini Man disc come with like 2 other discs that look just like it for no reason?
No, that would be a spoiler, so it'd only come with one more of this.
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. So. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended.
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean.
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love. I'm Zach Harper. That's Amin Al-Hassan, Anthony Mays producing the show. This week on Cinephobe, we watched the 2003 crime/romantic comedy, Gigli. Oh, Gigli, guys. Oh, man. You know what this stars? This stars Bennifer. Jennifer Lopez, who coming into this movie had just been in the movie Enough in 2002. Oh. She would be in Jersey Girl in 2004. And it was on the set of Gigli. Maybe I don't have this correct, but on the set of Gigli where she got together with Ben Affleck.
Oh, really?
So that's sort of what I found.
That really throws a monkey wrench into one of my major theories about this movie.
Now, do you have any evidence to say to the contrary or any story to say to the contrary, Maze? Because I sort of saw this at first and then I started to look it up and then I kind of forgot to keep looking it up.
From what I could see, they made this movie because they were already in a relationship.
So now I saw well, but I don't know.
I assume they were already together because I have a note here that says they had to know this script was awful when they read it, right? This is the only reason why they made this movie, because it's an opportunity to do a movie with your significant other and you didn't really care how good / bad the script was because you wanted to be there. Either that or actors don't actually read scripts.
There's multiple things that I saw that said that they altered the genesis of this movie based on this very public relationship.
I saw that too. I think they recut it because of this, okay. Because of their relationship.
Also, by the way, about like two notes later, I just have a line that says, oh, this isn't Jersey Girl at all. I had those two movies confused because I was watching this movie. I was like, this is for a Kevin Smith movie. This is very unfunny.
The other thing, Zach, was that originally it was supposed to be Halle Berry in this movie, but then they brought in J-Lo. So I'm thinking this is all like instantaneous.
According to E! Online, the two began dating in 2002 when they filmed a famous 2002 flop, Gigli, which is actually a 2003 flop. So there is an inaccuracy in that report.
Can't trust E! Online.
That is from E! Online, though. So
you can't trust them. They're off the list now. You make them.
They're off the list.
They're off the list.
Okay. Well, allegedly, these two started dating after doing this movie together. And by the way, Ben Affleck, also in this movie, he was in Daredevil in 2003, maybe another cinephobe possibility, and he would also be in Jersey Girl in 2004.
And Paycheck in 2003. So 2003 is really just the absolute bottom of the barrel.
That's the low point, right?
This is it. And then he worked his way back up to Argo and The Town from here.
This movie also stars Justin Bartha, who is the guy nobody cares about from the Hangover movies.
It wasn't until the last scene when they're on the beach that I realized.
Really?
It.
That's when? Wow.
I don't know why. Hey, did the light caught him at a certain angle? Like, is that the dude from the Hangover?
Wow, he lost you in the role.
Yeah, he lost a lot of things.
So Gigli was his first credited movie role.
Wow.
My
man really came back.
Yeah, he came back strong. So he was previously had been an uncredited club goer in the movie 54, obviously about Studio 54. And the next year he'd be in the movie National Treasure. So Nick Cage saved his career. That's my theory. We also see Al Pacino and Christopher Walken in this movie.
So they each did what, half a day? They knocked that out in one day.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more than that, right? They're both only in one scene, yeah.
Look, the opening note for me on this is Al Pacino is in this because I saw his name in the credits. I was not paying attention. I missed the part where it said Christopher Walken. And so imagine my surprise when Christopher Walken walks in later in the movie. I was like, wow, Christopher Walken's in this too. And at that point, I still thought it was a Kevin Smith movie. So it kind of made sense.
Also, like, Lenny, yeah, Lenny Venito, who I think is in a bunch of like pizza commercials. He's definitely been in a lot of stuff, but I think he's in a lot of pizza commercials.
Hold on. You tell me some dude who's in a lot of pizza commercials can tell his grandkids, I was in a movie with Al Pacino and Christopher Walken and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. He can sit there and say, I possibly was there at the start of the Bennifer. Wait, was Bennifer J-Lo and Ben Affleck, or was it Jennifer Aniston and Ben Affleck?
Or was it Jennifer
Garner? And Ben Affleck. Right. Oh, man, really?
Ben Affleck never dated Jennifer Aniston.
What? That can't be true.
Ben Affleck and J-Lo were Bennifer, and then he married Jennifer Garner.
He never dated Jennifer Aniston?
Never.
Always a bridesmaid.
What?
Jennifer Aniston, always a bridesmaid.
Is she?
Yeah, that's her. That's the whole, right? Like, Jennifer Aniston exists only to have her heart broken as these famous men.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, there's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
With Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
She needs to find herself a regular man.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Stop chasing these flighty Hollywood types.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Come down to downtown LA. Meet some real people.
All right. Geely is written and directed by Martin Brest. He directed some crime comedies like Beverly Hills Cop and Midnight Run.
No. No.
Yes,
no way.
He did. I mean,
oh my God. I mean,
his story is heartbreaking.
Oh.
Okay. Man. He also directed Scent of a Woman. Maze, if you could insert a hoo-ah for me.
Hoo-ah. 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 Hoo-ah.
Get your lip.
Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah.
And he also did Meet Joe Black. Geely was the last movie he directed.
Meet Joe Black, Geely, 1-2 punch, career over.
It was also the first written work he had since the 70s, late 70s.
Yeah.
Synopsis for Geely is, Larry Geely is assigned by a crime boss to kidnap the brother of a prominent district attorney. A beautiful woman known only as Ricky is sent to stay with him to make sure he doesn't mess up the job. Tagline, murder, blackmail, temptation, redemption. It's been a busy week.
That's pretty much the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Look, it nailed it.
Point.
It nailed it. All right. $54 million budget. That actually, there's some discrepancy there there's also a note in the trivia that from the rewrites, it went up to like $76 million as a budget.
Unbelievable.
For what? $20 million to rewrite this thing?
At the movie shot in a shitty apartment in Studio City.
Right. No. They built that on a soundstage, I mean. That's not even on location. They built the apartment for a soundstage. For over half, I believe it's 54% of the movies in that apartment. I mean, it didn't do great at the box office. $6 million at the U.S. box office, $7.2 million worldwide. Not a hit.
They made $1 million outside the U.S. They made $1 million. You know how many like third world countries all you got to do is say Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
And people would line up for that and they couldn't even get that crowd in there.
Nope. Couldn't do it. Before we jump into the movie, before listening to the rest of this podcast, Geely is only available to rent. So make sure you really want to follow along with this one.
I don't blame y'all if y'all skip this one.
I think it's worth seeing just for this podcast. All right. Geely receives a 6% from critics on 186 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 12% from the audience on over 45,000 ratings.
I need to hear a good review of this movie.
All right, there are three of them that I've got. Amy Dawes of Variety, an enjoyably written and performed romantic comedy.
It is neither romantic nor comical. Well written.
No, well written. Rob Gonzalez of efilmcritic.com. I can't call Geely a misunderstood masterwork, but I'm not ashamed to say I enjoyed it. All right, let's go to the negative reviews. Jeff Giles of Newsweek. After the Schadenfreude thrill of watching beautiful people humiliate themselves wears off, it has the same annihilating effect on your will to live.
Beautiful people, plural?
There are people that find Ben Affleck very attractive. I don't get it personally.
Yeah, like Jennifer Lopez.
Right, well, yeah, for a time.
Like in I spilled my oatmeal on the floor kind of way.
Wow.
That's what his face looks like, spilled oatmeal.
Okay. It's not wrong.
You're white, then you've been effing.
He's got weird hair, too. I don't like his hair. All right, Christy Lemire of the Associated Press. Every bit as unwatchable as the deafening negative chatter would suggest. Michael Agger of the New Yorker. It's hard to tell who this movie was intended for. Those who think that a mentally challenged boy singing dirty rap lyrics is cute and funny. Those who find Ben Affleck's brow to be ineffably mysterious. Students of Stoic philosophy looking for a test. Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian, awe-inspiringly, world-historically awful.
See, I like the other one. The other one gives you a little bit more detail that tells you the guy watched the movie. Right. I don't know if this guy from The Guardian watched the movie.
It is just – it's very basic, right? Like, he's piling on. Michael Atkinson of Village Voice, Bress would have to go back to his outline to repair this lemon and give America something akin to what it's told it really wants, a helping of Lopez Affleck home movies. That's creepy. Okay. This guy was hoping that at one point it would just turn into a sex tape.
Porn. Yeah. Porn. Homemade porn. I believe that's called Gonzo. Don't quote me.
Wow. Jeff Pevere of Toronto Star. It is an exquisitely bad movie, one to be savored, marveled over, shared with friends, and generally appreciated in a state of awestruck wonder. Gourmet fromage.
See, that's a good review.
That is a good
review. That sounds like a Zach review.
Wow.
Like Zach made up that.
What?
I'm saying it's a positive review.
Oh, it's a positive one. Well, it was negative on Rotten Tomatoes. Two more. Roger Moore of the Orlando Sentinel.
Moore.
Maybe the same one. I don't know. It's a catastrophic miscalculation of tone, a comatose comedy about mental illness, contract killers, and corpse desecration. I mean, not so much the last one. It's just one little scene.
And also, there's no comedy.
Right. There is no. Yeah, it's not funny. So this was the last positive review that I decided to save from Fred Topel of About.com. There were tons of worse movies this year. Maybe this is like comparing Saddam Hussein to Hitler, but Gigli isn't just the lesser of two evils or three or four. That's a positive review.
Okay.
I picked this movie because I wanted to hurt you guys. Not only did I want to, I didn't like the tone of Amin saying I should have lost my pick, or I should lose my picking abilities moving forward. I don't know what that's for. But you said that in the group chat, and I don't appreciate that. I mean, so I decide, all right, not only am I going to make you watch a movie that's horrendous, but I'm going to make you pay for it by renting it. I made sure to find one that wasn't streaming anywhere else.
Your picks have been horrible, man.
It's the point. It's the point of the show. Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
I thought it was the movies that you are afraid, ashamed to say that you love, not the movies that you can't stand and then so want to inflict pain on other people. I thought the whole point of this was you're going to pick movies that are critically panned and called terrible. But actually, if you actually watched it, you liked it. It was actually not that bad. And somewhere along the way, we just became into terrible movies.
Yeah, it has become sort of a torture voyeurism for me.
You peaked with Swordfish. Swordfish, great job.
I like that movie.
Hurricane Heist.
Oh,
I like Hurricane Heist.
Let me just say right now, I think back fondly on Swordfish. That's where I'm at right now.
We were so young back then, I mean.
Oh my God, when the movies were good. Yeah. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. Like, Swordfish is a good movie to me now.
I've seen this movie prior to this viewing almost three times. So like I've watched it in its entirety twice. And then there was a third time where I was like, I'm going to watch Gigli again and just see, you know, where I'm at with this movie. And this had to have been 10 years ago. Did you watch it in the theater? No. I never saw it in the theater. I wish I could have been a part of that exclusive group, but no, I saw it on like a DVD rental, I think. And then I saw it again, maybe on TV on a movie channel once, because I remember I had it DVR'd. Wait, and
you
then
rented it? You paid money. This is the second time you paid money for Gigli?
Yes. And so, well, no. Actually, that's not true because I rented it another time, but couldn't make it through the rental. I like got it to like, I got to the point in the movie where the girlfriend shows up, and then I just turned it off and I never finished the rental. So this is technically the third time I paid for it. Can we jump into this movie? Had you guys seen this movie before?
I've never seen Julie before.
Well, now you're welcome.
This is how you know I've never seen this movie before, because Al Pacino's in this was the first line I had. Second line was, it's pronounced Jiggly. The third line is, what if this movie ain't bad? That's something that's happened.
Wow, that's some optimism from you early in the film.
The last couple of movies, I've noticed that. Like, there's a point where I say, you know what? I'm assuming this movie is going to be terrible. Why is that? Why am I assuming it's going to be terrible? What if it's good?
Well, we open with a Ben Affleck voiceover saying, you see, after all is said and done, the only thing you can be really sure of, the only thing you can really count on in this world is that you just never fucking know. And now we cut to him in a laundromat. He's wearing a bowling shirt. This is a big movie for bowling shirts. Big movie for bowling shirts and leather jackets.
Oh, the leather jackets. Yes, the leather jackets. Oh,
yeah. And he's yelling at someone who walks into the laundromat in the background, tells him to leave. We find out he's talking to someone in a dryer.
Yeah, we thought he was breaking the fourth wall.
He was not.
It turns out he's talking to a man in a dryer.
Right. The man is gagged. Ben is collecting money that belongs to someone named Lewis. And then my note is, my God, that's a big dryer. Because that's a full-size person just sitting in there.
Yeah, I've seen those jumbo dryers in the laundromats. It's been a while since I've been in the laundromat, by the way. When was the last time either of you were in a laundromat?
I was in one last year because I had to clean my comforter. The dog had thrown up on the comforter and it had soaked through, so I had to clean it. And so the only way I could take it is to find a laundromat with a big washer and a big dryer.
I walk by them every day on the way to work, but I haven't been in one since I was traveling and I needed to use one when I was on the road.
He closes the dryer. The guy's in there comfortably.
Yeah.
The guy says he has some of Lewis's money. Now they're talking to a guy on the street that looks like Nick Saban.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I thought it was Nick Saban. I was like scouring the credits to see if Nick Saban was uncredited.
I didn't even write that down because I was like, nah, it's not Nick Saban. Thank you for writing that down.
All I could think about.
Let me tell you guys something funny on that note. When I was in Miami for Lakers Heat in December, afterwards, me, Izzy, George Sedano, and a couple of the production people from, because it was an ESPN game, we all went out to get drinks at the Mandarin Oriental in Brickell, right? In Brickell Key.
Yeah.
There was a guy at the bar who looked so much like Nick Saban, but only younger, that they actually approached him and asked him if he was related to Nick Saban. That's how much that guy looked like. I think this is the guy from Geely.
You think he's just hanging out?
Yes.
In Brickell.
Yeah, he took his royalty checks and now he just travels the world.
You think he got royalty checks as in plural?
Well, I mean, shit, you watched it through. You paid three times to watch it, didn't you?
Lewis is with him and he gets Geely's name wrong and Ben tells him it rhymes Jiggly. With really. Calls him Jiggly, says it rhymes with really. He has half the money from the debtor. Lewis needs help with someone in New York and he needs Geely to handle it. The quote-unquote certain individual has a relative with psychological problems. They want kidnapped until they can get the situation figured out. And I said, I'm sure this will be handled with care.
I actually missed the part where he said relatives and psychological problems. I was paying attention long enough for him to say, hey, I need you to take care of something. And next thing I know, Ben Affleck is in this mental ward?
Needs school. Yeah, whatever, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Whatever it is. And I'm just like, what's he doing here? And the note I actually wrote is, what's the point of this kid? Because he sat down and he has a conversation with him.
I'll say this moving forward in this movie. I don't think they did a proper job of handling the mentally challenged.
Oh, you mean Simple Jack didn't do the job for you?
And then I don't...
make me happy.
I mean, he basically is DJ Simple Jack at this point, right? Because he just randomly raps.
But even that part doesn't show up until way later in the movie.
Right, yeah. It's not a regular part of the character
confused.
Yeah. Here's my theory. Justin Bartha just started doing that between scenes at one point, and they decided to add it to the character. They don't handle that well, and they don't handle gay well.
Oh, yeah.
They really don't know how gay works. Nah.
It was a different time, though.
Zach, what do they handle well?
Leather jackets.
They did handle the shit out of leather
jackets. Yeah, they handled the shit out of leather jackets. All right, Zhili is at a special needs school or institution or something, walking toward this relative named Brian, who's played by Justin Bartha. Brian freaks out over Zhili, trying to get him to take a walk, so he sits down with Brian. And my note is, Bartha's career really survived this, huh? Nick Cage is a wizard.
I mean, why Nick Cage?
Because he was in National Treasure the next year.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Did you say that on this pod?
I did, yeah. Thanks for listening.
I wasn't paying attention. Oh, man. Sorry.
It's all right. No, that's fine. It's just three people having a conversation. One of them's checked out. So now Brian wants to go to the Baywatch. Zhili finds us out, says he's going to take him to the Baywatch, and now we're in the car.
He just walks into this place, which has to have some sort of records.
Yeah, you would think.
And he just walks out with Brian. No questions asked.
No questions asked.
Like in broad daylight, and he just never returns him.
Yeah.
And? Do you think there's a deleted scene that would have explained it and pulled it all together? Or do you think
this is the first time I just start saying, why?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that in this movie.
Oh, I said that. I said that many times, but it wasn't directed at the movie.
Oh, who was it directed at?
You asshole.
Zhili pretends to talk to someone on a flashlight.
Yeah.
And says that Baywatch is closed. Again, they don't handle a lot well in this movie. Says they'll go tomorrow. He takes him to his place for safekeeping. Brian decides he wants to go home after drinking some water, but Zhili tells him he's got to stay. Brian starts freaking out, and Zhili just yells at him. Just screams at him. Calls him, like, stupid. My next note, I'm legitimately offended by this portrayal.
Well, wait till I get to it later. No, but one of the things I was just wondering was, because at that point I hadn't paid attention. I was like, why is he bringing him to his house?
Right. There's no safe house.
Right. Like, why are they just hanging out at his house? Like,
because he's not worried about getting caught in the slightest. He's just like, broad daylight, kidnaps this person, takes him to his house. That's his whole plan.
There was no kind of checking in with, okay, I got the kid or anything. It was just kind of like, nope, you're just chilling here in the house. And then as Zach noted, he just yells at him.
He's just screaming at a mentally challenged person.
No, but it's like you had like the wherewithal to make up a story about Baywatch being closed like right. 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Like, now all of a sudden.
Now he's at his breaking point. Now Jennifer Lopez rings the doorbell. Zhili is smitten. She needs to use the phone. He says it's a bad time. She's too hot to say no to, so he allows her to come in.
You guys see those CD and VHS towers he's got?
Oh, no, I missed that.
That took me back, dude.
That. Oh, those were the days.
Man. Wasn't even a DVD tower. It was fucking VHS tapes.
VHS, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to put my copy of Gemini Man in that. Oh, I can't wait. We find out her name is Ricky. Says they don't know each other yet. She calls him Larry Giggly. It explains it's like, really? She asks to speak to him in private. She calls
Wait, what I missed. One, remember when you needed the phone company to come over?
Barely, yeah.
So it was funny because I can't remember what I was watching. Well, it might have been Levitard Show. But they were talking about, you know how many like things that grown people right now don't even get, probably don't understand. For instance, when you terminate a conversation on the phone, what is that called? Do you do what?
Oh, you hang up.
Yeah. Why is it called hang up?
Because you would hang up the phone. You would physically put the phone on the receiver.
But if you grew up in a world where there was no phones on receivers, where like phones were all cell phones, how would you know what hanging up is?
Yeah, it's a good
point. It's like a term that, but like, you know, the people, like I guarantee, like there's some, if I ask my kids right now, my oldest is in the fourth grade. If I ask my oldest, why do we call it hanging up the phone? There'd be no response. There'd be no clue because they never see phones like that. The other thing I was going to write, I wrote actually was, goddamn, Jennifer Lopez is bad as hell. That's when she's at the door. And then the next note is, I can't believe he used to smash that on the reg.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, man.
But not Jennifer Aniston, right, Maze?
Right.
I still don't agree.
Is this like a Berenstain situation, Zach?
Feels like, yeah.
Berenstain? Because it's stain. It's not steam. right?
Or is it? That's what I'm saying. I thought it was Berenstain, and then I was proven wrong by the internet, apparently.
Berenstain. Yeah. Well, it's like a stain, not a Stein or Steen. And also, you it's not B-E-R-E, not B-E-A-R.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would seem like it should have been
Berenstain. Yeah, they're just missing out on a pun there.
Yeah, no, they really, they really blew it. There's
a barrel right there. Salmon in a barrel?
Well, why? Because bears like salmon.
Yeah, they eat salmon.
The other thing was, she asks to use his phone. He says, fine. She comes in, sits down on the couch, which I thought was weird, and then kicks her feet up on the coffee table.
Puts her feet up right up on her shoe.
And then that leg stretch.
Yeah.
I said a bit presumptuous, and then she did the leg stretch. I was like, carry on.
You know what's crazy to think about? And look, I don't want to get leery here. I don't want to get
It's going to get really. That's what the look. If that was the intention of the movie,
right?
I'm not going to sit here and like, well, the palette of the color cinematography. No, like they wanted us to talk about this.
We'll talk about. It's crazy. So she's what, like 33 there in that movie? She looks the exact same.
I think she actually looks better now, which is crazy.
Mm-mm. Yeah, maybe she does. I don't know.
No. She looked better then.
What?
She lost the ass now. The ass is not there anymore.
I don't agree.
It's not what it once was. And if you don't believe me, watch the scene where she's spreading out the yoga mat to fall asleep on.
We all watched the scene when the yoga mat.
Okay. All right. One last point before she pulls him aside to have the conversation. I wrote, what is this accent? She sounds like that cop from Power. If you watch Power, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Gonzalez or whatever her name is.
Right.
Like, it sounds like
I have got so many questions about accents in this movie as well.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, she pulls him aside,
calls him a fuck up, says to call Lewis so he can explain it to him. Ricky says Lewis doesn't trust Geely. Lewis apparently wants two contractors on that. So Geely calls Lewis to get answers. Geely starts yelling at Ricky, calls himself a thug, to which I wrote, calm down, John Beeline. Yeah, that's topical.
Let me tell you something, okay? I don't know who the fuck you think you are, but I don't work like this. You got that? And if you want to talk about reputations, and if by some fucking miracle long shot you haven't heard of my reputation, let me tell you the fuck I am. I am the fucking Sultan of Slick, Sadie. I am the rule of fucking cool. You want to be a gangster? You want to be a thug? You sit at my fucking feet. Gather the pearls that emanate forth from me. Because I'm the fucking original, straight, first, foremost, pimp, Mac, fucking hustler, original gangster's gangster.
I mean, it's just awful.
His rant is terrible, but it does start with a pretty epic line that, yes, I ain't ashamed to admit, I will rip this off at some point in my life. Boy. So if by some miracle fucking long shot you haven't heard of my reputation, for some reason that was just like, I feel like that's a line that I must use at some probably All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, as you're trying to get into a party,
into the stance party. Yeah. As somebody who makes socks tells me I can't. The list is closed.
Well, anyway, hopefully you have a better result than Geely did because she's unimpressed by it. Geely then tells a mentally challenged person to act normal for once and pushes him against the wall.
Yeah, he's just yelling at him again. And that's when I wrote, this movie is Dollar Store Rain Man.
Hey, oh, man, that's a good call. That's a good call. Ricky threatens to kill him if he doesn't calm down, to which then I wrote, admittedly, Ben Affleck is acting his ass off.
Is he? How do we know that Ben Affleck is actually acting here? The scene in the bathroom when he's talking about the bull.
Oh, my God. That's a top five scene in history.
Yeah, that was like a bad SNL sketch.
It really was. I wrote Ben Affleck is acting his ass off. I think he's never been a better actor than when he's yelling at a mentally challenged person.
I don't think he's acting.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Geely calls Brian stupid, and Ricky says to back off because it's not his fault. And then Brian jumps in and says it's not his fault. He's brain damaged. Yeah. Then Geely comes over the top, calls him a retard.
I was waiting for that first retard to drop. I was taking clock.
Oh, I was, guillotine up above. Like, that's what that was. And he calls himself the bull, and he calls Ricky the cow in this relationship, showing dominance. And that's when I wrote the note. This is what made Ben and Jennifer fall in love, huh? This movie. This time together.
Because afterwards, you know, I'm not really like that. That's all you got to do.
I'm one of the good ones. Yeah. Gigli then has to read a bedtime story to Brian, but he doesn't have any, so he's reading the Tabasco bottle.
I thought that was fun.
And they bring the bit back later on.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you noticed, he really struggles with the word culinary in a Stugatzian way.
I didn't notice.
My next note is I just can't figure out Ben Affleck's accent in this one. I don't know if he's going for a New Yorker, a New Jersey person. I don't know. It's
again. Let me just point out at this stage of the movie, because the crime boss who they're trying to help is in New Jersey. I keep thinking at some point they're all going to go to Jersey.
I did too. Yeah,
because I thought it was Jersey Girl. That's why.
Right.
I thought this movie was Jersey Girl. And so the accent was not as puzzling for me at the time, because I just figured, oh, they're all from Jersey. They're going to go to Jersey here in a second.
You think when they started shooting Jersey Girl, the director started to give them notes on it, and he's like, I got this. I just did this one. all right. He now convinces Ricky to share the bed with him.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Don't gloss over it.
Okay.
He convinces her this while she's spreading out her yoga mat.
Right. Right.
To sleep on the floor. And I wrote, good Lord Almighty, J-Lo bending over made it all worth it. Little did I know this movie would come out. It's not like an hour and 15 minutes left. But at that moment, I was just like,
at that moment, you're like, all right, Zach, you did it again.
I'll watch Gigli again.
All right, convinces her to share the bed while she's laying out the yoga mat, and then is psyching himself up in the mirror. He's wearing a tank top. He has one of the worst tattoos I've ever seen while she's reading in bed, saying there's a bull, there's the horn. He's doing dumbbell curls while talking to himself.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
He has dumbbells in the bathroom, or he smuggled the dumbbell into the bathroom with him without her seeing it.
Right.
One of the two.
But then my next question was, where did her change of clothes come from?
Yeah, she never walks in with a bag or anything.
Right.
Also, she's a hit woman. I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming too much, but the reading in bed kind of threw me off.
Oh, look at you.
I was just like, if you're a hit man, like, or a hit woman, I guess in her case.
You don't think they read?
No. They go to sleep, and that's it.
Wasn't the book called like Being Peace or something? Like she's trying to find his
end. Yeah. Being at peace or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also, so he comes out of the bathroom and he's wearing a bathrobe. And I asked, have you ever owned a bathrobe?
I currently own a bathrobe. I've owned a bathrobe for about 6 years. I had worn it maybe.
Why do you own a bathrobe?
I don't know.
Maze, have you ever owned a bathrobe?
No, but I like wearing them in hotels. That's the only time I like wearing them.
See, I'll put one on in a hotel. Absolutely.
But that's the only time I can really like take a bath also.
I've tried wearing them in hotels and I realize they're just not very practical.
Wait, can you not put one on after a shower?
No, because when I shower, well, I guess this is very much a me problem. I have atopic dermatitis, which is like super eczema, like super duper eczema. So like I have a, first of all, my body absorbs moisture very quickly.
Oh, okay. And
so
you don't
like
even need to towel off. You just drip dry.
I drip dry very quickly. And as a result, I have to lotion.
Oh,
right. In the, great. Like I have a very small window of time where I need to lotion. Otherwise it just turns into just like creamy stuff sitting on top of my skin. And so the combination of it makes like bathrobes irrelevant for me. I don't understand the people who wear them just like, not like right out the bath. Like, I guess I get that, but like people are just like, oh, there's someone at the door. Let me put on a bathrobe. Like that's what I guess I meant when I asked.
I encountered that recently.
Someone opened the door for you in a bathrobe?
Yeah. And was just kind of wearing it. It's a regular thing.
And what was he talking about? See what I did there? Oh!
All right. He walks out in the silk robe. She tries not to look or laugh. He tries to make a move on her. She says he's not her type. She says she's a lesbian.
How does she notify him that he says to her, what about me is not your type? And she says, you have a penis.
You like that?
I did, because I could see his man brain.
Man animals.
Try to find a way around this obstacle.
But here's the question. Was he acting?
Not in this scene.
Not in this scene, right?
He was breaking so hard in this scene.
Yeah, he really was. She says she's gay, says she's a lesbian.
And I'm like, wait, what? Chasing Amy was a different movie.
Exactly, Maze. Again, this is the second time for him.
Again, I'm thinking to myself, wow, Kevin Smith is really going down this road again. Because I kept thinking that Geely was Jersey Girl.
But she does say if she wasn't gay, then they'd have sex, which is, again, not how that works. This first half hour flew by. I actually don't think this is a long movie, even though it's 2 hours long.
Yeah. Strong disagree.
Next morning, and Brian is on the phone calling for the weather.
On the phone calling for the weather.
Right.
In Australia,
right. Geely says it was a one-time offer the last night, not to come back for sex another time.
No. We're not going to just gloss over this. Because he says, you know how much that costs? And Brian says, $5? Says, no, it costs more than $5. And then Brian says, $10. And I said, this is a great missed opportunity for immense humor for Geely to go, ha! You know what? It might actually be $10. That's not the point. Like, I was waiting for that to come. I was like, oh, that's going to be a great line. And then he just kind of just goes, ah!
Look, I don't feel great about saying this word, but I honestly thought throughout the movie, he was just going to say a lot of things like, what are you, retarded? Like, I really thought he was going to keep dropping that.
Yeah, actually a low usage rate for the word retard in this movie.
Surprisingly.
And to be fair, when he did use it, he was reprimanded by Ricky.
That's true. So it's a teaching moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when they use the N-word in Django, right? Like,
it's just like that. So Geely says it was a one-time offer, not to come back for sex another time. Now Christopher Walken shows up.
Christopher Walken is in this?
Geely hides Brian, and we find out Walken is a detective. He's looking for the brother. He knows Lewis. He asks Geely about it. We find out Brian is the brother of a prosecutor, and it feels like we've had a leap in the story here, that this would just be the next jump in the story. Like, it does feel like we've missed a lot.
Christopher Walken comes in and does 7 solid minutes of exposition and then starts talking about Marie Callender's pies.
Man, you know what I'd love to do right now? Go down to Marie Callender's. Get me a big bowl of pie, some ice cream on it. Good. Put some on your head. Your tongue would slap your brains out trying to get to it. Interested? Sure.
Yeah, I wanted pie after this.
The pie. He starts making all these grunts and noises.
It's peak walking. That's my next note, is this is a big movie for leather jackets.
Why are they keeping the kid here with them in the house? That's my note there.
Well, it's such a obvious thing that Geely would be involved that Christopher Walken, on almost zero lead.
Right.
And zero lead the next time. Because this kid's been gone for like maybe 9 hours, right? The next morning, shows up at Geely's place wondering where this kid is.
Two things. One, pretty clearly paints Geely out to be a snitch, right?
Has to be, because he's familiar with him. He just drops by and he knows that he's associated with all this shit, but he also doesn't accuse him of anything.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Like, one is that he asks him a bunch of questions, not in an interrogatory kind of way, but in the kind of like, hey, man, you're my guy who knows these things. And I'm like, yo, Jennifer Lopez, you're not like red flags on this ditch over here. But then the other thing is he pretty much describes to a T the entire plan, and I'm like, oh man, he got them figured out, they're busted. And then he's like, ow, if you hear anything, let me know. I'm like, what?
It's stunning. It's a stunning leap.
How much did they spend to use Christopher Walken just to do that?
You think that was part of the $20 million rewrite?
When they wrote the Marie Callender speech, or was that
is that sponsored content?
Oh, man. That's how they defray the cost.
All right, they're off to get food, and once again, we get a flashlight communication that Baywatch is closed. Brian believes it to be a real place and says that's where the sex is. My next note, this is a big movie for bowling shirts. They're at a food spot, and Latin music comes on.
At this point, I wrote, this guy, and by this guy I mean Brian, his act is getting a little loose. Because it's not as tight as it was.
Oh, you think he got a little too comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. They're at a food spot. Loud music comes on. Brian loves it. Gigli is annoyed. He asks him to turn it down. The street youths tell him to turn it down. They threaten him. Yeah, just a bunch of shitty white kids. They threaten him. Ricky says she'll handle it. She explains to one of the guys the art of gouging an eye out in a certain fighting style.
And that's when her accent disappears, by the way.
Completely disappears.
And then she finishes it off with, stay in school, kids!
Yeah. She intimidates the group, then tells them to study hard and keep the grades up. Gigli breaks the laptop on the way out and says,
nice computer. Is suckmydick.com.
Also, Jennifer Lopez, jean skirt. Woof.
We're at Gigli's mom's house, and he's giving her a shot to her ass.
Yeah. And by the way, the mom is the mom from You Don't Mess With the Zohan.
Oh, that's right.
Nick Swartzen's mom in that movie.
Yeah, good call.
Which, by the way, buckle up, guys.
I know that you love this movie.
I love it. And guess what? That's going to be the Empire Strikes Back right there. You guys want to suffer? I'll give you suffering.
All right. She wants Larry to invite Ricky and Brian into the house. His mom is enamored with Ricky's beauty. She wants to know if they're together. He tells his mom she's a lesbian. She says, I'm sure she's been with fellas before. Then says that sometimes guys have limitations and that she used to be quite experimental. To which my next note is, this movie doesn't understand the mentally challenged or the gay community in any way. It feels like a real loose interpretation of what Ben Affleck believes this to be.
That's what's impressive, is that I didn't know about the brother aspect or the lesbian aspect coming into this movie, and it somehow made it age worse.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it makes it age way worse.
An already terrible movie in its time.
An already historically bad movie in its time.
Exponential growth.
It's somehow gotten so much worse. Brian keeps calling the weather number because he likes the woman's voice. Now, Ricky's doing yoga.
Oh, by the way, this is the part where I said, how much of this is him actually acting?
Oh, that's
when he's
good,
talking.
Yeah.
When he's talking about lesbians, he has this whole. This is right here, like right during the yoga scene, right? He's about, oh, lesbians, like, you don't have what it takes of years of genetically dumb modified. Da 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 da. I'm just like, yeah, how much of this is you actually acting?
Yeah, I think this was just something where the cameras were still rolling between scenes. We can use this. So he starts telling her that his take on lesbians getting sex toys because they don't have a dick, and it's not scientifically great. She counters with the vagina being the most desirable form and not the dick. This scene kills about 8 minutes.
It is a long scene, and she's doing yoga the entire time. She's doing
yoga time, and I always get, this is why I did not complain. I had no notes.
This is the scene that brought them together. Lewis calls as Brian picks up the phone. They've got a real Abbott and Costello vibe going. Finally, Gigli gets on the phone. Lewis tells Gigli that Brian's thumb needs to be sent to the courthouse to get this process going even faster. Lewis then drops the term clam liquor.
Yes.
We're talking about Ricky.
Yeah, he also drops the second retard of the movie.
There. By the way, Ricky, the night after the yoga scene, they're going to bed. She's in bed. Her hair is wet because she just washed her hair.
Right. Yep. Thank you, Amin.
The next morning, she's taking a shower again.
Oh.
But this is not the night they have sex in.
Maybe she got sweaty from the yoga?
She might have showered after the yoga, but she's still... then starts the next day with a shower.
Yeah, women don't shower. Women don't shower like that.
No, definitely not. Not like at night and then in the morning.
Right. No, and not washing their hair both times. That's not how that works.
So you can't even vouch for the editing in this movie.
No. Apparently the scoring got high marks.
I hated it. I saw that and I hated it. I hated this music.
Now Gigli reads the Charmin toilet paper bag to Brian as a bedtime story. Brian is dancing to music in the kitchen, wakes Gigli up with the music.
He's dancing to, by the way, he's dancing to Naughty by Nature, Ghetto Bastard, which is a really like deep.
It's a deep cut.
It's not only a deep cut. First of all, I was very impressed that they would have it. But also, like, it's a very meaningful song. And it's about, like, growing up fatherless and like, it's Tretch basically exposing his, like, insecurities and the pains of a childhood without a father. And I just remembered in one of the reviews you had is like, oh, having a mentally challenged guy rap dirty rap lyrics. I'm like, hey, wait a second, guy. This was actually, like, a really important song. Like, Two Live Crew or something. Right. Like, relax.
Oh, all right. A woman comes over to Geely's place, and it's Ricky's girlfriend or ex or something like that.
He just lets, by the way, Geely just lets her walk right into the house.
Just like, right in. Yeah.
What
for
person
someone
does that?
Harboring a kidnapper, not, you know, a kidnapping someone, victim, a hostage.
Not someone harboring a hostage. A hitman.
Right.
A hitman harboring a hostage. You just
wait. All right. Hold on. Do we know he's a hitman?
Or whatever.
Or is he just a street tough?
No, because the movie, the toughest thing he does is put someone in a fucking dryer. He's one of the worst mob associates of all time.
Yeah,
he's muscle.
He's muscle.
But either
right,
way, yeah. even though, as muscle, this is the second person you've just let, actually the third person, including the cop. You guys just waltz into your house like with no resistance whatsoever.
Yeah. He wants her out. The girl, and this girl is unstable. Ricky says it's over. It's a lot of uninteresting crosstalk. The woman threatens to kill herself, walks into the kitchen, grabs a knife, and then cuts her wrists.
Also threatens to have a threesome with her and Geely.
Right.
At which point I thought Geely should probably like, hey, man, let me
I thought he'd try to sell it.
He was pretty angry. Like, get out of my house. Like,
right.
I would have explored it. I would have been like, hey, man, you know.
Now we're at the hospital. Geely says it must be mental fucking illness week.
Does he say that really?
Yeah, he says that when he's watching Ricky in the hospital with
in
the car with Brian. Ricky doesn't want to do the thumb thing either. Geely thinks she's testing him.
Wait, like, hold on. She doesn't want to do the thumb thing. She says, I didn't sign up to be a brutal street thug. And I wrote, what the fuck are you supposed to be?
What job?
Did you think this was like a courier service? Like, I didn't sign up to be a brutal street thug. Like, what?
When they're watching Ricky in the hospital from the car.
That woman is fucking beautiful.
Yeah. She's like the ones at the Baywatch. Yeah. They make my penis sneeze.
You got a good sense of humor, you know that?
God bless you.
Thank you.
No, not you, stupid. When my penis needs, I say, God bless you. God bless you, penis.
I did not remember that scene.
I don't remember that line,
I request a clip, please. The other thing is what you mentioned. He thinks she's testing him. She says to him something like, we need to find another way. And he says, are you with me? And he says, sure. And she says, see, no, you're not with me because your answer is not like very, it's let me put it this way. If I ask you, I'd like to suck your dick for 12 hours. What would you say? Like, yeah. I was like, see, you didn't have that kind of enthusiasm or into it. And so he says, okay, ask me the question again. And she says, okay, are you with me? And again, I wrote, this would have been a prime moment for him to say, no, I meant the other question.
Also, 12 hours. Come on.
That's not fun for anyone.
After four, it just gets bothersome.
And that's not fun for anyone.
All right. So they decide they're going to steal a thumb off a corpse to send from the hospital. I wrote the word hijinks. Geely thinks he can cut off a thumb with a plastic knife.
And then he does. What the fuck is that?
I was floored. Absolutely floored.
This guy wrote Beverly Hills Cop?
At what point does this seem plausible? How long would this actually take?
This guy wrote Beverly Hills Cop and Midnight Run.
And
then his career ended after this movie.
He did Scent of a Woman, I mean.
That movie's trash. That makes a lot more sense to me.
Disagree. During the scene, Brian is in the morgue area and he's singing I Like Big Butts. And then to which I then ask again, are we to believe he cut the thumb off with a plastic knife? This is supposed to happen. Are you kidding me? Then they go and mail the thumb without sealing it up. So like the blood would have absolutely soaked through that envelope.
Yeah.
Mjili admits to Ricky that he's sad because he has this fucking beautiful, sexy, gorgeous, heartthrob-a-rama, fucking smart, amazing, bombshell 17 on a 10-scale girl sleeping on a bed right next to me. You know what? She's a stone-cold dyke. He then calls her a Dykosaurus Rex.
That was great, Zach.
And he feels sadness about this because there's nothing he can do. Cheryl, 40 minutes left in this one, boys. Buckle up.
What the fuck? Yeah, there's that moment when he's putting he asks for the envelope at the package store and then like turns like three quarters, pulls a thumb out of his pocket, like sneaks it into his envelope. Like this lady didn't see him pulling shit out.
And it's wrapped in like a goddamn tissue, a bloody tissue. I'll admit, I stopped watching this movie at this point last night and re-upped it this morning. Maybe that's why I didn't feel so long.
I can't believe you tapped out at this point. You're like, wow, after that, you know, let's end on a high note.
Brian is watching a movie with monkeys. Gigli and Ricky are in the bedroom. She checks to see how he looks at his nails to see if he's gay or thinks he's gay or to see if she thinks he's gay.
I remember when that was a thing, by the way. Some people asked me that. Do you guys remember which one you did?
Well, I just did it kind of instinctively right now, and I had the fingers bent looking back towards
me. Oh, you're so manly. You got a Babasaurus, whatever.
I got a Dykosaurus. <Tell me. laughs> That's good writing, actually. Come back to us, Martin Brest. She checks to see, and then he gets defensive. She then says that she can kick his ass and kisses him, to which I wrote, this is not how gay works.
Did I miss something? How are they making out?
Yeah, she's trying to be dominant, then leans back and says, it's turkey time, gobble, gobble, to which I then wrote, I promise everybody this is not how gay works.
I thought you wanted to be my bitch.
Yeah. So much of this is offensive.
When she said that, I wrote, yeah, J-Lo makes it worth it. But then I also wrote, they had to know. This is when I wrote, they had to know the script was awful when they read it, right?
Had to have. They had, or, they had
like
to
that. Have, this is the scene where I was like, no, they're clearly dating. And right. They made this movie because they wanted to make a movie because they're dating. Not they met on this movie. Because why else would they accept? Why else would they accept? Like, this script is so bad.
They met here for, they've hit it off or whatever. That's according to E! Online.
E's line. They don't have the year right, so they don't
so know. Much of this is offensive, and it's also something Ben Affleck has done in multiple movies, as we've mentioned earlier, Chasing Amy in this, and I said I don't think he respects gay at all.
Well, he didn't write the movie. Like,
second time you're doing this,
you're lobbing things at this dude, man.
You're right, I am, because it's the second time. I mean,
man, look, if
John
Belon
calls him thugs tomorrow.
But John Lee, he's not acting though. This dude's acting. He's just doing like a job. No, he's not. Not well, at least.
All right. She says when the gig is over, she's going to leave. Lewis wants to meet with Ricky and Gigli, tells them not to bring Brian.
Tells them not to bring the thing.
Oh, the thing. Right. The thing. Gigli tells her he has this fantasy of going somewhere clean where you can just be yourself. No bad stuff is there. Lewis shows up. They have a visitor from New York. They follow him to Al Pacino's home. Al Pacino is playing Starkman, and he has a ponytail, to which I wrote the note, I think Al Pacino's ponytail is the starting point for how this movie got made.
Also, when he invites him into the house, he says, in, sit. And then he says, I like to say things twice. And I wrote, I love when characters explain their idiosyncratic behaviors so that we know what they're. Oh, he likes to say things twice, and then proceeds to never say anything twice.
Not once again. He said he's having legal problems.
He has a lot of buttons on his suit, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of buttons. Yeah,
it's a very, very Steve Harvey suit.
Yeah,
Al Pacino has on in the scene.
Says he can't go to jail because he's used to the finer things. He's challenging whether or not a thumb is a finger, he starts talking about intimidation and says that the gun isn't intimidating. It's unnecessary. He says intimidation is when someone doesn't give a shit, to which then he then shoots Lewis in the head and kills him.
At which point I said, I'm still pretty intimidated by the gun.
He's pissed off that the thumb was sent to the prosecutor. He thinks it's screwed everything up and it's turned the chances of him getting away with some stuff completely off. To which then I wrote, and I fully believe this. Look, Al Pacino acted his ass off in this scene. He kills it.
But hold on. First of all, there's a couple of things.
He's still got it.
And to be honest with you, I've been thinking about it since I watched The Irishman. Does he have any role where he doesn't yell?
Ooh. Yeah, probably not, right?
So he just yells so much, man. Like, Michael Corleone might be the last time I remember him not yelling.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's good at it. He's a good yeller. It's like Tom Cruise is a good sprinter, right?
Yeah, he's probably a top five yeller all time.
Easily top five yeller of all time.
Better
than old.
Ah, shit. He beat me to the joke.
Sorry. Sorry.
I swear to God, I was getting up for it.
I didn't need your help. You know, I could have beaten these charges. What were you thinking? You were going to extort a federal prosecutor. You thought you could say, kidnapped your little brother, drop all charges, and the guy'd roll over? You didn't think all hell wouldn't break loose? You didn't think every fucking Fed wouldn't drop whatever they were doing and dive in to protect one of their own? What do you morons think? This is Little Italy? Wake up! This is the 21st century!
No, the other thing about this scene and Al Pacino is he seems to be blaming them for the finger in the mail idea.
Right.
And I'm like, motherfucker, that wasn't my idea. Like, I didn't want
to. Well, no. I mean, to be fair, I actually thought that this made the most sense, maybe in this whole movie, is he's giving them shit because it's the wrong thumb, and they easily found out it was the wrong thumb.
Sure, sure. That is the reason. Yeah. He gives them shit for that. But then he seems to go on to give them shit about just the idea that this would work, that sending a finger or a thumb to a federal prosecutor would somehow make the problem go away.
Right.
And
not create more problems.
And not create more problems. I'm like, that wasn't my idea. Like, this is not my job to figure these things out. You told me, and then I chickened out and didn't do it right. But either way, even if I followed it to the letter of the instructions, I still, like, it's not my idea. It's right. Your idea or Lewis's idea or whoever.
Well, that's why Lewis got shot.
Right, yeah, but then he was threatening to shoot them as well.
Yeah, I'm like, why is this my fault?
Says he could have beat the charges that this isn't Little Italy. Then, like, Ricky,
I don't know what that meant.
I don't really get it. I mean, I guess it's like a mob thing, right? Like, yeah. Oh, well, this isn't the mafia. You can't just intimidate a federal prosecutor.
But
right?
Even the mafia doesn't do that because because
it's DC, it's federal, so it's not like a neighborhood thing.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay. Right. I guess. Sure.
And then Ricky starts trying to calm him down and explain themselves
by cussing him out.
She's just using a lot of $8 words in her rebuttal.
But like, also, very disrespectfully.
Yeah, very disrespectfully.
Well, yeah, Ricky's supposed to be smart. That's why she's reading all the time, and she's always condescending to Gigli.
Oh, that's why.
That's her character. Reading.
I really wish
trying to establish that she's smart. Okay, I got you.
I really wish one of the scenes was her reading the book upside down. I really wish that was, like, just a goof in the movie.
Just like Jessica Alba's character in Good Luck Chuck was quote unquote clumsy.
Oh yeah.
Jennifer Lopez in this movie is quote unquote smart.
She says the kid being picked up by the authorities will just make him look guilty in all this. So he lets them go. They're going to take Brian back to the school or institution, whatever. Says they'll take him to the Baywatch later. Brian starts rapping I Need Love by LL Cool J. Gigli then asks Brian if he has a girlfriend, tells him not to be shy around women. Says the thing you're most afraid of in life. If you do it, if you step up, good things will happen. Tells him to step up to women. He's essentially telling him to catcall women.
The fucking inspirational music playing while he's giving him this pep talk is sickening.
It's really bad. The score in this movie somehow lauded.
And there's a box of Hennessy in the back seat.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is there something in a Hennessy box or just a case of liquor?
Right. Gigli wants Ricky's real name, then says he's going to lay it all out there for her, but she cuts him off and says that the man thing doesn't really work for her. Somehow he got through to her, but in the end, she can't be what he really wants her to be. So now they're driving toward
straight,
which is straight. Right. Yeah, that's tens. Well, or can she? They're driving to Malibu. They see a shooting for what looks like Baywatch. Brian starts freaking out. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brian starts freaking out, so they say finally pull over and, you know, pull up to the beach. And I wrote, have you ever been on this part of the PCH before?
It would have taken 3 hours. It would have taken 3 hours.
Zach, I wrote a left turn is impossible, easily a 24-minute endeavor.
Easily. Like, you would have to go so far up to a turnout area. Like, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible because there's a median.
No.
I'm saying it's impossible because the traffic just doesn't stop.
Right. It never stops. It never slows down in that way, you know, enough to where you could flip that around. And it's like the landing of the airplane in Con Air on the Vegas Strip was more believable than doing a U-turn on the highway there. Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they managed to do it. They turn around, they go to the set.
Brian really easily.
Yeah, almost too easily. Brian wants to go down to the beach. Gigli calls Brian's brother from a payphone to have him picked up there. Gigli is contrite about being mean to him. He does the fingernails test with Brian, and Brian does it the straight way, I guess. They laugh about that.
Because Brian's not a cocksucker like Gigli.
There's still so much leather jackets happening in this scene for the beach. Gigli says to take his car so Ricky can get out of there. She says she can't do that to him. Then he talks her into it. She takes the keys after he pleads with her. He then says, as far as the lesbian thing goes, if you ever think about hopping the fence, promise you give me a call first. Yeah. She kisses him. Again, this is not how gay works. I can't express that enough. She drives off. Brian walks onto the set as they're starting to get in position to shoot something. Apparently, there's no security for that set. He gets paired up with a hot blonde girl who's sort of got an Australian accent, but actually sounds like a Kiwi to me. He starts spouting off the weather information and dances with her.
Oh, I just got that shit. Oh, because she's Australian, like the fucking phone. God
like
damn it.
Exactly. So I wrote, what the hell is the point of this scene? And then when she starts talking, I said, she's Australian, meaning she's not going to notice that he's a little off.
Oh.
And then they start dancing, and I said, they're white, so none of them are going to notice that he's a little off. Because honestly, like, he's supposed to be dancing like a mentally challenged person, but I saw no difference between him and everybody else back there.
Pretty much the same back there, yeah. Gigli walks away, but Ricky pulls up in the car to give him a ride. Says her real name is Rochelle. He gets in the car, then says he'll look great. She says he'll look great in some mascara. She quotes his mother. They drive off, I guess, happily ever after. That's the movie. Roll credits.
I actually looked up I actually went to Media Stinger to find out whether there was anything in the credits or after the credits. And do you want to know that Media Stinger does not even recognize Gigli as a movie?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's upsetting.
Nothing. Yeah. I was like, wow. Okay. Tell me how you really feel, MediaStinger.com.
Here's some trivia from the movie. According to longtime best friend Matt Damon, Ben Affleck twitches whenever the film is mentioned.
Say what?
He twitches whenever someone mentions the film Gigli.
No, man. You don't get to twitch. No, I'm sorry. You don't get to twitch.
Kevin Smith.
You knew. You read that script. You knew.
Kevin Smith likes to tell stories about how whenever he and Ben Affleck are playfully ribbing one another, all Smith has to do is say Gigli to end the conversation.
Nice. Again, thought that this was Jersey Girl and thought that Kevin Smith had written and directed this for 3/4 of the movie until I looked it up. I was like, when does Silent – actually, I Googled, when does Jay and Silent Bob show?
Would that have made this movie better or worse?
better, definitely.
I don't know what could have made it worse. Received such bad reviews that it was dropped by every cinema in the UK after only 1 week. So you're wondering how it only made $1.2 million overseas. That's one reason. Only 73 U.S. theaters were showing the film by its third weekend of release, down from 2,215 during its first weekend. That's a drop of 97%. It's the largest drop ever in terms of percentage, and at the time was the largest drop in terms of number of theaters, later surpassed by Meet Dave in 2008.
Oh, I saw Meet Dave in the theater.
You were one of the few. Broke the record at the time for the largest second weekend drop as well at 81.9%. Record was later taken over by Undiscovered in 2005.
I don't remember that movie.
J-Lo was paid $12 million for her role. Ben Affleck was paid $12.5 million for his. Their combined salaries are more than three times the film's worldwide gross of $7.2 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe they paid more for him.
The negative experience making this film caused Martin Brest to retire from directing.
Good.
The film started out as a straightforward mob film until Sony Pictures and Columbia, against Martin Brest's wishes, turned it into a romantic comedy to cash in on the relationship between Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
People keep using this term romantic comedy, but I don't know where the comedy is.
This is the piece of trivia that I want, like, a deep dive article written about. You know, what does that mean? Changed it. Does that mean in editing? Does that mean they shot extra stuff?
Is there a version somewhere else? Yeah.
What the fuck was this movie before? Because it's certainly not a mob film of any kind.
What if it was Fire before? Like, it would have been like the Goodfellas of this generation. You know, the worst part about that is Martin Brest trying to tell people that? And yeah, okay, dude. Okay, Julie.
Yeah, sure, Marty. Sure thing. We buy it.
Now I do feel sorry for him.
Do you?
I do, man.
So what are we thinking here? They met on the set. Yes. They started dating. The tabloids got it. And while they were still filming it, it became such a huge thing that it altered the course of the production.
Well, so it does say the script was rewritten several times, ballooning the budget from $54 to $75.6 million. What if that's happening during the movie?
It has to be like while they were shooting. Yeah.
Why? How did they spend that much money?
I don't know. Once you got all the actors locked in and you don't have any sets, like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and you got to keep pushing time, right?
I think about this. I could literally rent out, like, an apartment in, like, Simi Valley for a couple grand a month and could have shot it there. Everything else, the street shots are fairly straightforward. Like, there was no special effects. We don't even really see the thumb, right?
No, because they were using a plastic knife.
Right, yeah.
Like there's no part of this movie that involves special effects or stunts, right? Is there any stunt work in there?
No. Other than, like, Brian getting pushed up against the wall, no.
Okay, so again, where did they spend – forget the extra $20 million. Where did they spend the $54 million?
Question.
It's unbelievable, man.
Ben Affleck did say that most of what he's learned that is good comes from Martin Brest, but it just didn't work in its essence. The studio wanted to change it into a love story because they thought that's what people want to see because these guys are together now, which is one of the greatest miscalculations in the history of miscalculations.
Shut up, Ben Affleck. See, now I don't feel sorry for Ben Affleck.
In 2015, Ben Affleck finally admitted his regret in making the film. He also felt his relationship with Jennifer Lopez led to the movie's poor box office return since the audience couldn't see past the two leading roles' real on-screen relationship. I don't think that was it, buddy.
Yeah, come on, man. He's still defending this movie? How is this possible?
It swept the Razzie Awards. It got everything, every category. And then the original ending featured Geely being killed. But after negative response to a test screening, the ending was reshot and re-edited. I can't imagine it got a positive response after that.
Are you telling me there was a test screening where people watched that movie and were positive about it other than the ending?
Apparently that's what they believe happened. And my favorite joke that I saw was that Conan O'Brien at the time said, "The Mets are doing so badly that they will be named the New York Geely."
Oh, nice.
Topical. I have a Tony Medley review for Daredevil.
Oh, no, save that one if we're going to do that movie.
Oh, okay. Good call. What else can we do here?
Okay, we can just end this shit. How about that?
Yeah? You done?
I'm done. This movie is terrible. Yes, you don't even have to ask me. Oh, superphobe.
I do have Paycheck.
We might do that one, too.
We might do that one, too. Okay, yeah. Well, all right. No review this week. Geely's good enough as is. Amin, phobe or file?
Phobe. Superphobe. All right. Superphobe. This is terrible. This... not the worst. Not the worst.
That is legally a positive review on Rotten Tomatoes now.
it's the Saddam to Hitler. To Jupiter sending Hitler. What is Mace, the worst movie we've done, by the way?
The worst movie we've done?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good luck, Chuck. That's the worst one to me.
No, man. Right? It wasn't that bad.
That was the angriest I've been.
I think it's between Jupiter Ascending.
I mean, Showgirls is really bad.
No, Showgirls was entertaining. Because I tell you, like, there's some of these that are bad, but I'm entertained while watching them. And there's some of them where I can't get me out of this.
Oh, Battlefield Earth?
Man and Merlin. Man, animal.
Looked up the like, is this is this is worse? This is not as bad as Battlefield Earth.
No, it's worse.
It's worse.
It's worse because
are
at least
you out of your mind?
Battlefield Earth entertained me on some level, man.
This didn't entertain you?
No, not at all.
Wow, Maze, phobe or file.
I mean, I'm not even gonna. It's a romantic comedy that's not funny or romantic. It's a mob movie that has maybe the worst mob plot ever.
Yeah.
It's got almost strange cameo appearances by every character except for the main three. It's a bad Rain Man. The chemistry is terrible. There's no redemption. This is a phobe.
All right. Let me say this.
Here we go.
He's going to lie. What are you going to do?
Pacino and Walken both kill their scene.
No.
Absolutely kill their scene.
Walken, just the pie monologue. That's it.
The pie monologue, right. Yeah, yeah. Everything up until that point is bad. But the pie monologue is fantastic.
And Pacino was fine.
Is it
fine?
But no, Pacino's great. Pacino, fastball, man. He's going 98.
I don't think you know what the 98 word fine or fantastic means.
I didn't hate the Al Pacino scene.
Oh, he like everyone else is bad in it, but he's great in it. Don't let J-Lo muck this up or Ben muck this up. He's great.
I'm saying I didn't hate the Al Pacino scene. I hated 98% of the rest of the movie.
Look, right. Jennifer Lopez did not muck up this movie. If anything, she's the one redeeming quality.
I will say it is a wildly offensive movie. It is offensive to the mentally challenged. It is offensive to gay people. It's offensive to mobs. It's offensive to leather jackets, to weather. It's offensive to flashlights. It's offensive to turkeys. It's
Let me just say right
offensive
now.
To music.
Let me say right now. I'm offended that the reason that you're building up to say you don't like this movie is because of how offensive it is. That's what I'm offended at.
Like, I recognize how offensive all this is, how bad a lot of it is, although there are some scenes that I really do enjoy. I thought Al Pacino was great.
Suckmydick.com.
Suckmydick.com. Calling her Dicosaurus Rex, which, while offensive, is funny.
Made my penis sneeze.
Penis sneeze, right. It's offensive to physics with the plastic knife cutting off a dead thumb. But that said, I have paid for this movie 3 times. Would I pay for it again to watch it by myself? No. Would I pay for it to make other people watch it? I'd consider it.
Oh, my God.
Am I glad that I got you guys to watch it, pay for it, and talk about it? File me, baby.
I don't know if I can put that in the spreadsheet.
File. Put it in the spreadsheet. It's officially a file. It's awful and unredeeming in every way. And yet, I'm drawn to it.
No,
I'm
no, drawn you're not, to it. I mean, not,
no, because here's the thing. It didn't feel like a 2-hour movie.
What are you talking about? Because you watched it over 3 days, Zach. I started watching this movie on Monday. It's Friday. We're recording this on a Friday.
I finished it 20 minutes before we started.